Let her go.
It's now time for The Baseline, a weekly roundup of spring high school sports, including baseball, softball, track, soccer, and more. With your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep reporter, Dave Weber. Now, The Baseline.
Well, good morning, and welcome to an active weather day. They tell it's going to be active, and it is already. The tide is high, the fog is low, and the rain here at the studios, the KGY waterfront. And this is our final show of the 21-22 school year and my last show. In a sad night this morning, I got to say there have been 20 shootings since the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. Mass shootings, that is. When I first wrote this line on Wednesday, that number was 17. I mention this because it's happening too often, and too often affects our student population. Students, in fact, are beginning to protest by walking out of school here and across the country. They're looking for the adults in the room, and this is a serious problem in need of a serious solution. I personally see no solution or even serious discussion on the horizon. Expect to see orange shirts on young people as a reminder in the near future. Now, enough of that sad subject. I'm Noel Wall, along with Olympian contributor Dave Weber. And in today's show, we got seven team state championships, plus several individual titles and a few records set last weekend. Dave, you have had a busy week.
Yeah, it's been quite something. There's been stuff going on the track and on the diamond, where all those championships came from. The local area actually won half the available girls' track and field championship, making three out of the six, so quite a season.
Wow. And as they always say on the TV commercial, don't wait, there's more. The Olympia Area Rowing Club is sending some high school-age teams to the Nationals in Sarasota, Florida. We're going to hear from coaches Catherine Reet and Richard Lawrence, as well as rower Ellie Raleigh. And Dave, I think you are, besides what you collected for our show today, you're going to do, there'll be something in the paper, is that right?
Yeah, there'll be something on Sunday, and this is, you know, I was talking to them when I was out there interviewing them yesterday, and, you know, basically this is the equivalent, if not more so, than the state track tournament, track meet. Ellie Raleigh, who we talked to, she's going to Stanford to row next year. They've got another rower going to Oregon State, another one going to Virginia. A girl who used to row for them, it's, came back to help out yesterday just for the heck of it. She had just finished rowing for Brown in the NC2A championships the week before. So they are a very serious club that, you know, they start out with the learn to row type stuff, but then they go all the way through to people who actually do rise to among the highest levels in the country. So very worth reporting on. It is a high school sport. You just don't have the kids on the team go to different schools. You know, there'll be an Olympia person paired up with a Capital person, or a four-person boat with people from multiple schools. So definitely something that deserves paying some attention to.
I got to say, it was I myself got to participate in their Learn to Row Day a few years ago that they do every year. I was in an eight with the sweeps and had some fun. So if you see that opportunity, by all means, take it and hang around to the end of the show. That's where we will cover what's going on with the rowers locally. But let's start with our first state champion, Pope John Paul II, and their track team.
Yeah, the girls winning the 1B state track meet. They came in third in the boys. Interesting squad. They don't have a lot of sprinters or throwers, things like that. They do have a couple, but their strength came from just flooding the middle to long distance races. They had, you know, five in one of the top sevens. So we'll talk a little bit about each one then. In the finals of the 800 meters, Claire Conrad, Adeline Hecht, and Maria Steinbrecher all made the finals in the 800. And then in the 3200s, where they really shone, Conrad won the event. Caitlin King, Ariel Brewer, Isabella Salvador, and Taylor Ames all got into the top seven. So five of the top seven in the 3200 were JP2 Eagles. And they had done well at the 1600 on the first day. So Conrad had a PR in the 32 of 12:16.63, and that was the best in 1B all season long. And they did have a semi-sprinter type girl, and Lindsay King. She scored points in the 100 hurdles, and they had a 4x4 relay team of Mariah Steinbrecher, Hecht, Isabel Friedlein, and Conrad that did well. So, you know, that's where their strength was from 400 to 3,200, and Lindsay King chipping in a few points in the hurdles. The boys, after the first day that we reported on last week, Trevor Dugo won his second event of the meet, the 3,200, in a PR of 10:22.84. Also the top 1B meet in the, mark in the state this year. And he was second in the 800. Samuel Rucker and Caden Harley each ran PRs to get on the board in the 3,200. And one of their rare non-distance runners, Noah Braun, scored in both the shot put and discus. So great day for JP2, and that was out at Eastern Washington University, which will also be the site of where the next three schools we're going to talk about competed. So I won't repeat that over and over again. But Eastern Washington was the site for the small schools.
All right. Congratulations to the Eagle girls there with their state championship. Moving on. Northwest Christians, the Wolverines, also had some track activity.
Yeah, it was narrowly focused. One family, one event. Asher Ingram won the 3,200 for the boys, had a PR of 9:50.37. Again, the top mark in the classification all season long. And for the girls, Madison Ingram ran a PR to finish fourth in the 3,200, and that was the best the Wolverines had to offer.
All right, moving on to Rainier, where the Mountaineers girls won a couple of games before being blanked by PL Willapa Valley and then eliminated by Forks, who eventually finished third.
Yeah, they had basically a thing of lopsided games. They opened the tournament with a 17-0 rout of Liberty and a 16-2 thumping of Warden, and Aslan Taylor hit the cycle with a grand slam and seven RBIs against second-seeded Warden. A lot of chatter on the internet about how the local teams in 2B were way underrated this year when it came to the RPI and so forth to seed the tournament. Also in that game against Warden, Olivia Ursley was 2 for 5. She had a double and 3 RBIs. Alyssa Lofgren, 3 for 5. Couple of doubles, 2 RBIs. Brooklyn Swenson, 2 for 5 with a triple. And Madison Mounts, 3 for 4 with a double and an RBI. So they were just showing the opposing pitching. Bailey Elwell pitched all 6 innings and struck out 9. But then it was the Mountaineers' turn to get beat up a little bit as they were blanked by PL Willapa Valley, 10-0, and then eliminated from trophy contention by Forks, 17-6. And that was their third loss of the postseason to Forks. They lost to them twice in the district tournament. So you hate to have that happen when your nemesis keeps coming up.
Yeah.
That was it for Forks. I'm always talking about my own kids' sports career. The 1 year Timberline girls basketball went 23-2, and both losses were to Kennedy Catholic. So sometimes you just have that nemesis that's out there.
That one you can't get around.
And so that brings us to another championship team.
Right. The track team, the boys got 4 individual championships and took the team title.
They did. The girls were kind of well down the list, but the boys were up on top. And the guy we talk about all the time, Texas-bound Jeremiah Nubby, he set meet records in the shot put in 56-10, which was a PR for him, and then the discus in 22:03.7, that was not a PR for him. He's has the state record at over 2:07. He was second behind Kalama's Max Cox in the javelin, and then some other kids. Ryan Dodge won the pole vault in a PR 14 feet. That was the best mark in 2B all season and 7th across all classifications. So, you know, Rainier competing in 2B, but having at least 2 of the top athletes throughout the state in the form of Nubby and Dodge. Dylan Davis was 2nd in the pole vault, and Chase McFarland won the triple jump with Thomas Roney coming up 4th behind him. And on the girls' side, they had a few girls reach the podium. When we say podium in track, we mean the top 8, not the 1, 2, 3 at the Olympics. They put 8 people at state track, and Selena Niemi finished seventh in the 800. Autumn Kenny was third in the shot. Isabella Holmes fifth in the discus, and Anna Champlin eighth in the girls' pole vault.
All right, very good. Do we move to 1A and the Tenino Beavers, who had both track and tennis news a little bit?
Yeah, just a couple of people, three people to talk about. Megan Letts in tennis. She was the district champion. She won her opening match at the 1A state tournament. She had a hard-fought three-set victory over Connell's Ellen Wickham, but then she was eliminated after losses in three sets to Deer Park's Carmen Cuart and in straight sets to Yai Jr. of Annie Wright. Meanwhile, at the 1A state track meet, again out at Eastern, it was Gavin Watson who finished fourth in the boys' long jump, while Trinity Tafoya, also known as their soccer goalkeeper back in the fall, she was fifth in the shot put. She had a PR of 35 feet, 7 1/4, and that was the sixth best mark in 1A all season long.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, I think that's going to do it for our first segment this morning. When we come back, we'll bring the track from the east side of the mountains to the west, where weather may have had some effect on some people's individual or team kind of results there. Later in the show, Capital Cougars, Olympia's Bears coverage features both some team and individual titles, and the Olympia Area Rowing Club sending some teams to Sarasota, Florida. We're going to hear from coaches and a rower. Lots more to come. Don't go away. You are listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Lanes are full heading north on 167 in Subner, beginning at the 410 Exchange. Expect stop-and-go traffic on 99 northbound and Federal Way as you approach 356th Street. Your travel time on I-90 westbound from Issaquah to Seattle between Front Street and I-5 is 13 minutes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by Churches.
The smoke is back at Church's. Our $6 Smokehouse Chicken Meal is a juicy half chicken served with mashed potatoes and a honey butter biscuit. All that for just $6, but not for long. Church's, welcome to the great state of flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
This isn't your regular Coke, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. Ah, this is cola like you've never had it before. Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Ascend Roofing Company would like to take this time to salute all of the young men and women serving in our armed forces. To those who risk their lives daily to keep us free, we say thank you. That reminder courtesy of Ascend Roofing Company in Shelton. Trust their years of experience for all of your commercial roofing project needs. Call Ascend Roofing Company at 360-868-2730 or visit them online at ascendroofing.com. That's ascendroofing.com.
It's time to get your grill on. Father's Day and 4th of July is coming up. Hi, it's Val. Join me at 95.3 KGY at Olympia Fireplace and Spa and Delmonico's Heritage Butcher Shop this Friday from 1 to 3. Get your grill on with tips from the pros. There's grilling on the sidewalk out front. Yummy. Enter to win KGY concert tickets this Friday from 1 to 3 at Olympia Fireplace and Spa, downtown Olympia.
We are the entertainment you love and information that shapes your day. We are your lifeline. We are your companion. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as you're paying in disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years.
years. A firm like Putnam Lee Potvin Daily, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Federko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam Lee Potvin Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
The West Central Park Neighborhood Center seeks to create a community-centered, pedestrian and bike-friendly retail shopping and dining experience for the surrounding neighborhoods in West Olympia. The West Central Park Neighborhood salutes KGY on 100 years of serving the community.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Playing Olympia's
greatest hits. Olympia's KGY. Welcome back. You are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on the baseline, Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. And boy, we got a lot of sports to round up today. We're here thanks to sponsors like Choice Regional Health Network. Choice is your partner for community health and services. Also, McKinney's Appliances, a longtime sponsor here. They have Maytag and Whirlpool appliances that will make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. And we go up to Evergreen Conference and the Shelton High Climbers, who had a couple of individual state champions in different events.
Well, they had one state champion who won two events.
Okay, well, similar story.
Almost the same. Yeah, and that was Alana Carson. She won the 1600 on the first day of the meet, and we're talking now about 2A, 3A, and 4A, which all took place at Mount Tahoma High School in Tacoma, which they have done for many, many years now, and it is a beautiful facility for that. So that's where all these next ones that we're going to talk about were. But Alana won the 1600 on the first day, came back to win the 3200 in a 2A meet record of 10:44.46. Not surprisingly, the best 2A time all season long as well. And so great way for her to finish out her career. She is a senior. And in the same race, the 3200, Allie Clifton of the Climbers claimed the last spot on the podium and ran a PR in her final high school race. So not a widespread success for Sheldon at state track, but some really good stuff for the two that made it to the top in the 32.
All right, very good. On to Rochester Warriors. The girls' fast pitch team played five games, finished one game away from a trophy.
Yeah, they finished their season 18-9. Really hectic week. Can you imagine playing five games in 2 days? That is really something. They dropped their opener to Linden, then they bounced back to defeat North Kitsap, Port Angeles, and Ellensburg before, as you mentioned, being stopped just short of a trophy by their 2A Evergreen Conference rival, WF West. A few highlights. In the 8-3 win over North Kitsap, Sadie Newsom drove in three runs with a triple. Lena Demers drove in three with a pair of doubles, and Jessica Lindsay had three hits. Port Angeles was kind of a slugging match, and the Warriors came on top 14-12 as Demers went 4-for-5 with three doubles. And Lakota Eskett and Cassidy Bird with three hits in that one. Then they beat Ellensburg 11-3. Eskett homered, and leadoff batter McKenna Vassar drove in three runs with a single and two doubles. And despite the 12-day loss to WF West that knocked them out, Demers and Bird each hit a home run. So not a bad finish for Rochester and softball. It was their first visit to state since the year 2000. So not a bad run. You know, I'm sure it was fun to play in that tournament for them. They went 3-2 in those five games, so no trophy, but pretty enjoyable trip, I'm sure, over the mountains to play that game, those games.
You bet, and some great memories. And in track, a couple of new school records.
Yeah, track in the similar vein to Shelton. They only had one competitor, but Talon Betts came up big in his final high school races, setting school records and finishing second in the 200 meters. That was in a time of 22.19, and fourth in the 100 meters at 10.96. So I'm sure he was very happy with that, breaking underneath the 11-second mark. Always good to hit those milestones like that. So he's off to play small college football. I can't remember the exact school. I think he's going down to Oregon to one of those D3s down there, but his athletic career no doubt is not over. He'll probably take to the track in college as well, since he's going to a smaller school. So good finish, but it's more of a career yet to come.
Very good. Black Hills Wolves had both some track news and a tennis doubles team that made a pretty good appearance.
They did, but first in track, Olivia Hutaw was the lone wolf, get it, to get onto the podium. Nice. She finished fifth in the 100 hurdles in a PR of 16.2, so saved a little bit for the end of the season. Tennis, as you mentioned, the doubles team of Athena Moore and Sienna Moore finished second at the 2A state tournament, which was up at the Nordstrom Tennis Center in Seattle. They defeated teams from Sela, Pullman, and Centralia, but fell in the championship match to Grace Rudy and Lauren Drevis of Columbia Rivers. So an all-district four final, and they came out on the short end, but a good run there.
Yeah, very good. That is nice to see. Tumwater T-Birds, boy, we got some stuff to talk about here. The boys won four games in 2 days, including a 6-3 win over rival WF West to claim the state 2A championship.
Yeah, and they had a dramatic finish, couple of dramatic finishes in baseball. We'll talk a little bit later about Olympia's finish and how they won their title. But two outs, bottom of the seventh, 0-0 tie, and a walk-off infield single, ground ball to the shortstop. And Ryan Orr, who usually pitches but was DHing, I believe, that day, beats out the grounder to second, and the runner scores from third. And the T-Birds beat Columbia River 1-0 at Yakima County Stadium last Saturday. It was the first time the T-Birds had won a state title in baseball at any level. They've been 3A and 2A, but that's the first time they've won it. Orr had all three of Tumwater's hits in that game. And ULV signee Jordan Hansen started for Tumwater, and he went 6 2/3 scoreless innings. To get he didn't get the win, but he went 6 2/3 scoreless innings before giving way to a reliever. And as you mentioned, in Friday's semifinal, the T-Birds beat 2A EFCO rival WF West 6-3. Alex Overbay went 3-for-4. He scored two runs and drove in two more, so definitely at the heart of the offense in that one. And Orr got the pitching win in that one. Interestingly enough, because Yakima is not far from Sela, where that softball tournament was taking place, after Tumwater's softball team made it a state championship, they were able to hustle over to Yakima and watch the boys finish out their win. So what a day for people who wear mitts on one hand. Yeah, for Tumwater, what a deal.
That is a lot of fun.
It was not...
My line for the girls is deja vu. They won four games in 2 days, including a 5-3 win over rival WF West to claim the state 2A championship.
Yeah, the championship game was against Othello.
Right.
They did beat WF West. But, in the game with Othello, they run-ruled them. It was 13-3. The report said that the Tumwater girls weren't really sure if the 10-run rule was in effect during the championship game. And when they got up by 10, they kind of looked at the umpire like, yeah. And he signaled, yeah, the game's over. And then they went crazy. So they weren't really sure they were going to get it. That was the third championship for Tumwater in softball over the years. And in that title game, freshman Ella Ferguson pitched her fourth complete game of the tournament. She was the only girl to toe the slab, as they say, in that tournament for the T-Birds. And also in the finals, she belted a three-run homer. So talk about things that you will not forget in your entire lifetime. It doesn't matter if she goes on to star in college or what have you. That game was not going to be forgotten when you win the state title game and hit a three-run homer.
Yeah.
And freshman catcher Jamie Haas also hit a three-run homer. And University of Pacific-bound shortstop Allie Waltermeyer hit two home runs. So a little bit of a power surge for Tumwater in that one. And they had beaten, as you mentioned, they had beaten North Kitsap Linden and WF West to reach the championship game. So big one for the boys and girls out in that Sela Yakima Metroplex, if you will.
Yeah. And the success stories continue in the track where the girls won the team 2A championship, plus had several individual champs.
They did that, and they made it three state titles in one day for Tumwater. That is just remarkable. It's hard to even get your, what they say, get your mind around that they were that good in three sports.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other school having that success in a day.
And say, yeah, and then, you know, what do you do? Have three different parades? So it's going to be quite a celebration, I'm sure, earlier this week when they resume school. But anyway, they won the 2A girls track title by a decisive 27 points, so it wasn't really even close. They got individual championship performances from Natalie Sumrock in the javelin, Alyssa Duncan in the triple jump, and a win by the 4x200-meter relay team of Mariah Annabelle Clapp, Reese Hereford, and Ava Jones. And Clapp was also second in the 400, and Duncan was third in the 100 hurdles. So girls getting on that podium all over the place. Boys not quite as stellar, but they did have a couple of guys do well. Seth Weller finished fourth in the 110-meter hurdles. That was kind of the highlight. And John Hoffer was on the award stand twice in both the 1600 and 3200.
All right, very good. Thank you for that. That's going to complete that segment of the show. Next up, of course, 3A schools. Later on, Capital and Olympia, each one STEM state team champions, or brought home. Yeah, they were champions. We'll hear more about it anyway. And the Olympia Area Rowing Club headed to the Nationals. We're going to hear from coaches Catherine Reith and Richard Lawrence and rower Ellie Raleigh. It is the Baseline. Don't go away. You're listening to 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Lanes are full heading north on 167 in Sumner, beginning at the 410 Exchange. Expect stop-and-go traffic on 99 northbound and Federal Way as you approach 356th Street. Your travel time on I-90 westbound from Issaquah to Seattle between Front Street and I-5 is 13 minutes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Anna Luisa Savis.
Welcome back to the newest game show on radio, Fantasy Bud Commander, where we always open an envelope to reveal a new special at Bud Commander in Tumwater. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This product has an intoxicating effect and may be habit-forming. Cannabis can impair the concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. For use only by adults 21 or older, keep out of reach of children.
Okay, the envelope.
I just dropped the envelope. I should have got more sleep last night. Fumble fingers. Okay, this one says double happy hour Thursdays. Thursdays from 7 p.m. till close. It's another 10% off.
There it is. Thanks for tuning in to the newest game show on radio, Fantasy Bud Commander. We always open an envelope to reveal a new special at Bud Commander in Tumwater. Until next time, visit Bud Commander on Trosper Road in Tumwater.
Bud Commander!
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Race fans, feel the excitement at Grays Harbor Raceway. Experience the ground-pounding, in-your-face excitement at Grays Harbor Raceway. Get your tickets online, then head over to Grays Harbor County Fairgrounds in Elma. If full-throttle family action is what you're looking for, then Grays Harbor Raceway is the place to be every Saturday night. Gates open at 4:30, racing at 6. Log on to GraysHarborRaceway.com for ticket details and classes that are racing. Grays Harbor Raceway, the fastest way to family fun.
It won't be a complete washout today, but we are in for a change tonight. Rain or showers will pop up this evening and throughout the weekend. Highs in the low to mid 60s, nighttime lows in the low to mid 50s.
Let her go.
And welcome back once again to the Baseline, Thurston County's high school sports roundup show. You are with Dave and Noel. Thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. And with the cost of cars both new and used, man, you can't part with your car. And if that's true for you, if you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. Eleni Bottling, our local Pepsi distributor, proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. They've been a long time sports sponsor, and we appreciate that. We are up to 3A, where North Thurston Rams had somebody in the tennis brackets.
See, they did. Rhett Nelson, give him credit for making it to state, but he was knocked out after two matches, and he was the kid that went the farthest for the Rams, though. Nothing else to report either on the diamond or the track, so that was their most successful spring sport athlete.
Okay. Timberline Trailblazers, where girls fast pitch won their opener against Prairie before falling to the consolation bracket.
Yeah, they finished the season 12-13, which is kind of a rarity for a team that made state. But we talked about it before; it was kind of a Cinderella story, and they did get a victory in the state tournament to prove that they belonged there. They beat Prairie 6-3 in a first round game that would have put them out if they lost it. Mackenzie Camus went 3-for-4 in that game, while Jorge Hernandez, Jasmine Polanco, and Tori Trotter all hit home runs. And Polanco scattered 6 hits and struck out 13 to get the win. But as we mentioned, you know, part of the issue with Timberline not having a winning record was Polanco is a sensational pitcher, but she is forced to throw huge numbers of pitches sometimes because they don't really have effective relief behind her. And they ended up losing to Roosevelt and Blanchette, a couple of the Seattle teams, to get knocked out.
Well, I think that's something that leaves room for improvement for them, which will likely happen because I think as we talked to Jasmine's mom, Lindsay Polanco, the coach, earlier in the year, their next pitcher is a freshman. So, you know, the two of them are going to continue to improve, I would expect, Dave.
Yeah, a sophomore followed by a freshman. So that's actually kind of ideal if the freshman develops or if a new player comes in next year where you have somebody you know is going to be your mainstay for a couple more years and you can develop behind them and see if they do better in the regular season next year and hopefully can get themselves back to state.
All right. And Blazer news from the track.
Yeah, they finished well out of contention for team honors in either gender, but they did get some kids on the award stand. Destiny Robertson, who is probably one of the best soccer players in the country, she got on the award stand twice in both the 100 meters and long jump, while Abigail Pedro was fifth in the shot put. And for the boys, Emmett Thomas was fifth in the what they call the ambulatory 400 meters. And I need to apologize to Timberline's quote-unquote ambulatory athletes. That actually means you're blind or something is your disability, as opposed to I call them wheelchair athletes before. They are not in wheelchairs. They're just running with the assistance of somebody else because they don't see very well. But anyway, Emmett Douglas was fifth in the 400 meters. And Gage Pedro was sixth in the shot put and seventh in the triple jump.
All right. And just to be clear, there is also wheelchair events.
There are wheelchair events, and that's where I got fooled because I had not really seen what they call the ambulatory event. But it is a race for disabled or what they call now the differently abled people, but they need some assistance in some way to complete the course. And Timberline had a couple of people that were in that, and Emma Thomas actually got on the award stand in it.
All right, Nate, great example of inclusion. Yelm, the girls beat Cascade of Everett to be in a couple of games of state tournament play, a couple of days of state tournament play.
Yeah, they lasted till the second day, but they, you know, they obviously had some shortcomings. They've been giving up a lot of runs this year and eventually caught up to them. Another really good season. It's just that Yelm, you know, sometimes when you're highly successful, you set yourself up for a disappointing season being what someone else would consider a great season. They finished the last three times there was state, they finished third, second, and third. So to finish 21-7 and not get a trophy seems like, oh, they fell short, but not really. I mean, they did extremely well, just not up to the standards of the last few teams. As you mentioned, they beat Cascade. They also beat Blanchette during the tournament, but lost to Walla Walla on Auburn Riverside. And the 3A softball was out at the Rack in Lacey, one of the top local sports facilities, and it's kind of like Mount Tahoma is probably locked into the track for as long as they want that. And I think the Rack is probably locked into hosting either 3A or some other classification of softball as long as they want to do it. Talking about some individual highlights, though, against Cascade, shortstop Kaylee Thompson was 4 for 5. She drove in 2 runs and scored 2 more, while senior Ashlyn Avon belted a 3-run homer. And Avon just kept it up. She went 2 for 3, hit another home run in a loss to Walla Walla. Then she homered twice and drove in 6 runs in a hectic 17-11 victory over Blanchette. And Linnea Hicks homered and drove in 3 runs. And that took Yelm to as far as they would go.
Okay, very good. We're looking to the track now where that team didn't do too bad.
No, the boys had won the District 4 championship, the District 3 and 4 championship, the bi-district, the week before, and they finished third at state behind Walla Walla and Arlington. And Braden Platt, who, by the way, picked up another football scholarship offer this week, just a sophomore, but he got an offer from Cal, and he's already got some from UW and a number of other schools. But Cal, where former Tornado Dylan Jemtegard plays, came up this week and said they'd like to have him. And Braden finished second in the discus and the javelin after winning the shot put on opening day. So that is a cool 26 points he contributed to the cause in those 3 events. And Trevante Smith won the triple jump title. Kyle Ronquillo was 3rd in the long jump. And Jordan Lasher, 5th in the pole vault for the Tornado boys. And on the girls' side of it, they had Isabel Wright-Cloran finished 5th in the long jump and 7th in the triple jump.
Very good. On the tennis court, the Tornadoes had both boys and girls double teams in the tournament.
Yeah, nobody placed. They had a lot of kids in it. It was kind of a surprise. Didn't realize Yelm was a tennis hotbed in the area, but it is. And Felipe Rodriguez and Oliver Bucino were both knocked out of the singles on the boys' side without gaining a trophy or anything. And on the girls' side, 2 doubles teams, Aubrey Cayford and Maya Phelps, along with Jalen Carter and her partner Selena Perez. They met the same fate, no placing for any of them. But to look at 6 Yelm Tornadoes going to the state tennis tournament, that's not bad at all to have some depth across boys and girls in your program.
That is really, really excellent, and congratulations to everybody there. That'll wrap up this segment of the show, and boy, we still got plenty to go. And will we cross the top of the hour or not? You never know. We haven't made it in under an hour in months. We'll see. In our next segment, Capitals track team made it to the top, led by champions Amanda and Hannah Mall, plus Olympia boys took the state baseball championship, and the Olympia Area Rowing Club. We're going to hear from coaches Catherine Reith and Richard Lawrence about their trip to Sarasota, Florida to the Nationals. They've also talked with Ellie Riley. We'll hear from her. But first, traffic, weather, CBS Eye on Travel. Don't go away. More to come. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY. KGY South Sound traffic.
Lanes are full heading north on 167 in Sumner, beginning at the 410 Exchange. Expect stop-and-go traffic on 99 northbound and Federal Way as you approach 356th Street. Your travel time on I-90 westbound from Issaquah to Seattle between Front Street and I-5 is 13 minutes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Anna Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by Macy's. Get Macy's lowest prices of the season and save big on all designer suits for him. Find jewelry to complete any look. Tag Ridgefield luggage sets and so much more. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift card services and fees. Sign up for free at Macy's.com/Star Rewards.
Hey, Tony and Corey here with the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Hey, Tony, you got some tips on how to get your house ready for summer?
Yeah, start by making a list. Then knock the easiest ones out first, set realistic goals, and finally, don't be a perfectionist.
Well, you've never been accused of that.
Ouch. Tune in this weekend. You'll definitely get a laugh, and you'll likely get some good advice, but only if you listen.
Weekend Warriors, Sunday morning at 7 on Olympia's KGY.
It's time to get your grill on. Father's Day and 4th of July is coming up. Hi, it's Val. Join me at 95.3 KGY at Olympia Fireplace and Spa and Delmonico's Heritage Butcher Shop this Friday from 1 to 3. Get your grill on with tips from the pros. There's grilling on the sidewalk out front. Yummy. Enter to win KGY concert tickets this Friday from 1 to 3 at Olympia Fireplace and Spa, downtown Olympia.
Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates is celebrating 20 years of providing foot and ankle care to families. Our trusted, experienced, and caring team will provide you with the high-quality, comprehensive care that you deserve. Our surgical procedures are performed on our on-site, state-of-the-art surgical suites. As part of your care, we also offer physical therapy. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates accepts most insurances, including state. Visit anklefoot.net to book your appointment today.
Sports Fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at spinteesprints.com. Friends Spin Tees on Facebook.
Tumwater Parks and Recreation offers a variety of activities for the entire family. The key is to make Tumwater a better place to live, work, and play. Did you know that there are activities for grade school kids and middle school age students, such as drumming classes or playing the ukulele? And even for adults, there's a cornhole league where you can have fun and own bragging rights. Experience fun in Tumwater with Tumwater Parks and Recreation. Oh, and don't forget that the Tumwater Artesian Brew Fest is right around the corner.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
You know when you see a great deal on the phone and then you find out it's not for you? Not at Verizon.
They just gave us all a new iPhone 13.
So we both got the same great deal.
Yep.
Get iPhone 13 on us with select trade-in and 5G unlimited plans for every customer, current, new, everyone, to show the love. Only from Verizon. $799.99, 128 gigabytes only, device payment purchase with new or upgrade smartphone line required. Less up to $800 trade-in/promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in conditions apply.
Paulson's Motorsports salutes KGY, serving our community for 100 years. Come see what's new at Paulson's Motorsports in Lacey, the home of your lifetime limited engine warranty.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Ion Travel Minute. Planning a domestic trip this summer? If you're thinking of visiting a well-known U.S. national park, you might be out of luck. Many of the more popular parks, like Yellowstone and Yosemite, may be overcrowded, and on some days, might even close. So it's time for Plan B and heading to the least visited national parks. Try Congaree National Park in South Carolina or Isle Royale National Park in Michigan, or head to Great Basin National Park in Nevada, North Cascades National Park in Washington State, or Pinnacles National Park in California. They've got built-in social distancing and usually no lines of visitors. Still, you should always call ahead to reconfirm their hours and whether reservations may be needed. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Ion Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. libertymutual.com.
Let her go. Welcome back to the Baseline with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. And we're here thanks to Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates. They are celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and moving and maintaining good health. Find them online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees Prints, who does excellent work and does all our work right here around the old radio ranch. Find Spin Tees at their new location behind Minuteman Press on Olympia's west side, or better yet, find them online at spinteesprints.com. And we also appreciate the support of Putnam Lieb Potman Daily, taking the insult out of injury, premier workers' compensation, and car accident attorneys. And we are up in our last segment to the state capitol and the Capitol Cougars, where the Mall sisters both won state titles, leading the girls to the team championship.
Yeah, the Cougars edging runner-up Garfield by 7 points. A little bit closer than some of the other ones we were talking about. And the Mall sisters, as so often happens, were at the top of the list there. Amanda won the pole vault. She set a meet record at 14.6 and barely missed in an attempt to become the first high school girl to ever clear 15 feet. She also won the long jump. And Hannah was second in the pole vault and won the 100 hurdles. And the two sisters joined Cora Landers and Lucy Hemingway to win the 4x100 hurdles. So they contributed mightily to the state title, but there were others. Cora Landers was also sixth in the 100 meters. And both of the longer relay teams, the 4x2 and the 4x4, consisted of Landers, Hemingway, Addison Harrington, and Karina Greenlee. And they both reached the award stand. So Capitol winning that title, as I mentioned, towards the open. There's six classifications in Washington, and Thurston County teams won three of those in girls track. So just a fast area, I guess.
Amazing.
I don't know how else to say it. That's pretty amazing. There's 300-some schools in the WIA, and three of our local schools were track champions. So pretty impressive, and two were baseball champions. Capitol's boys didn't really contend for the team honor, but they celebrated Sean Jackson's runner-up finish in the 400 meters. And the only other action for Capitol came in boys tennis. And Colby Sinkmars had an opening round loser out match against Henry Liu of Mercer Island, and he did lose that one. So no trophies for Capitol in tennis, but girls track is what people will be talking about at school this week, I'm sure.
Yeah, they will. And the Mall sisters have another year to come, so that 15-foot mark probably will fall.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't know what counts and doesn't count during the summer, because I know Hannah's jump at the Oregon Relays, I don't know what shirt she was wearing at that one, but definitely wasn't a high school meet. It was a college meet, and she was jumping, you know, in that meet. She gets credit for that on the high school standings, but sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes there'll be a off-season meet. So my point being that Amanda and Hannah are going to have an active summer, and whether it counts as a Washington high school record or not, there could be some fireworks for them in the youth records area. So we'll see what happens there.
Okay. Moving on to the Olympia Bears, where boys baseball had a couple of wins over the weekend, including a one-run victory in an all-District 4 final where they beat Puyallup.
Yeah, that's the big rivalry this year. Olympia went into the state tournament seeded number one, Puyallup number two. they had split their games in the 2A or 4A SPSL season, and I think Olympia beat them in districts. So just a intense rivalry from the same league. And they had a game that rivaled Tumwater's for a dramatic finish. Tumwater had the offensive walk-off play when Ryan Orr got that base hit. For Olympia, they had a defensive walk-off, a dramatic play that ended the game while they were in the field. Freshman Lincoln Berg had driven in two go-ahead runs in the top of the seventh with a clutch single, but Puyallup rallied. They had runners in scoring position in the bottom half with two out, and Puyallup's Garrett Ringer lined a single to right field. That scored one run, but Tabor Fast rushed over, picked the ball up, fired it home, and got the second runner trying to score the tying run, and that ended the game. So a great throw from a sometime pitcher that's going to Texas Tech on a scholarship, and he used his arm to gun one from the outfield. There's all kinds of tweets with that play online. If you wanted to look and find it, you can watch it. But just a great throw when the whole season, in a way, was on the line. So great play by Tabor Fast. And the Bears finished the season 25-3, and it's their first state championship. They'd never won in baseball before. They played for the championship in the last 4A title game to be played. They fell to Moses Lake in 2019. This year, they advanced to the final with a 7-3 semifinal win on Friday over Richland. And in that one, Evan Nickel, Fast, and Brody Finney each drove in two runs, and Raylan Hyder got the pitching win. So tremendous season for Olympia. And, you know, you have a state championship game appearance in 2019.
Yeah.
COVID comes along, cancels the postseason for two full years. You're not really sure what can happen the next year, and they're right back in that title game, and this time they win it. So looks like a little bit of a powerhouse developing in Olympia.
Yeah, congratulations to the boys, Bears. Girls also played in the tournament, eventually getting knocked out.
Yeah, they only got one victory, but they finished 18-8, and obviously going to state's an accomplishment in and of itself. They opened with a lost to Redmond, then they beat Hanford and lost to Battleground. And in the one victory, they got 12-7 over Hanford. Alyssa Hoff and freshman Ava Bautista each had three hits, including a home run. And Brooklyn Crass also homered. In a 5-3 defeat to Battleground, Hoff and Kiana Wellner each had two hits. So a few highlights there, but again, a team that is going to be pretty much loaded for a while. Their pitching staff of Sammy Potvin and Ava Bautista, both underclassmen, so they've got a couple of years left to go, and some good players positioned out in the field as well.
All right, very good. On the track side, they've got a couple of state champions.
They did, and one of them, of course, is one of the better athletes ever from these parts, as they say. They finished third in the boys' team standings. Ethan Coleman added a meet record, 8 minutes and 49 seconds in the 3200. That added to his earlier win in the 1600. Another state champion for them was Connor Johnson, who...
That's a very old-school telephone ring, Dave.
It is an old-school telephone ring. That's because I'm an old man, just like you. So. But anyway, so Connor Johnson won the 400 meters. Kenyatta McNeese was third in the 100. Dane Boswell, fifth in the pole vault. And Jonathan Holcomb, eighth in the long jump. So you can see there was quite a string of individuals going to that podium for the Bears. And their 4x400 relay team, which was... built up a lot of pride in what they were doing all season long. McNeese, Johnson, Coleman, and Parker Fouts finished second. And Lake Stevens was just ahead of them the whole year, but Olympia's time kept getting lower and lower. And those four guys created one of those memories there, even though they didn't win the championship. Some highlights for the girls at track and field as well. Caitlin Rigg was second in the 800. And the girls' 4x400 relay finished on the award stand. That team included Caitlin Rigg, Jenna Rigg, Samantha Christie, and Ava Wolin.
All right, very good. And the Bears also had some tennis players in the tournament.
They did have some tennis players, both boys and girls. And, you know, for some reason in the years gone by, there's been champions and contenders from Thurston County. But this time around, just none of these schools really got too many of their kids deep into the tournament. Out in Kennewick for the 4A tournament, Gabe Hong lost his opener. He then did beat Emil George of Bothell in straight sets, but then he got eliminated. And on the girls' side, Hadley Manista and Kristen Chang were eliminated without placing. And in doubles, Ella Richards and Sarah Wilson were also knocked out without grasping a trophy. But again, you know, we hate to talk about these people losing at state because it sounds bad, but they had to win a lot of matches to get there. So.
And that way, you know, an interesting thing is the girls, if I'm right, play their tennis season in the fall.
And then have to come back in the spring for the championship. I think they get their choice is what it is. There's you can play it whenever you want to play it. And,
okay.
You know, there's fall season and spring season. You can play either or. And then the championship will be people from both of those seasons. So it does make it a little difficult. But then again, on the other hand, most of these kids in these tennis, golf, those kind of sports, they're playing year-round anyway. They may not be playing for Olympia, but they're playing in various tournaments. So it's not as though they're, you know, forced. Not like you said, okay, now we're going to have the football championship game in late May. You know, they had to dust off their helmets and so forth. This is something they do year-round. So nonetheless, a little bit different. Definitely a little bit different from the other high school sports.
All right. Well, there we have it. 14 schools, 7 state champions, several individuals. And what a year it's been. Congratulations to all our state champions and, you know, personal best and all of that. As we've teased through the show, the Olympia Area Rowing Club will be sending some high school kids to the Nationals in Sarasota, Florida. Dave, in preparation for both our show and his upcoming piece in the newspaper, was able to talk to coaches Catherine Reith and Richard Lawrence, and we're going to start our coverage with that interview. Here they are right here.
How do you guys go about recruiting high school kids to come out for the team?
We recruit anybody who wants to row. We do outreach.
So I noticed as far as the group that's going to Nationals, you have kids from 5 different schools. What's the most different schools you've had in a given year?
I don't know for sure. That's a fair number for us. Yeah.
What's the best finish that Orr's had that you're aware of? Who's done the best?
Recently we had a girls double, actually, who Emily John, who is here, actually observing. She's back on vacation from college and after NCAAs and on her way to Henley and wanted to...
And who did she row for?
She rows for Brown.
Oh, okay.
My alma mater. And she and another girl from Orr finished second just in 2019.
What's the best shot that anybody has?
Both the boys quad and the girls double have
pretty
good
chance.
Shot. They both won their races at regionals.
What is special about that pair?
Natalie and Ellie both took to rowing very quickly. I actually coached them when they were novices. They were freshmen in high school, and they just really took to it, were successful pretty early. Both have, you know, a good rowing build. They're tall and they're strong. COVID, of course, was a little bit of a problem for the senior class because, of course, they all had good, you know, they had normal novice years. And then just, you know, in their sophomore years, all of a sudden, you know, we were getting ready for our first race and then the lockdowns happened. And so what we did last year, once the lockdowns ended, we started having kids coming down and rowing just in single sculls with only 5 at a time. So they were in little bubbles and, you know, so we really controlled things. But rowing in singles is actually very good technically. You learn a lot from rowing in a single because the boat will tell you exactly what you did wrong.
What do you need to adjust to go back with teammates?
So that's learning to row in a team boat, so making sure that you're matching everybody else. Because in a single, it doesn't really matter whether you have, you know, fast hands away or a quick catch or, you know, whatever your particular style is.
Right.
In a team boat, you have to be able to match together. So that takes a little time to develop that kind of work. Now, Natalie and Ellie had done that in the pair last year. And we did have some racing last year. We had actually regionals, but it was mostly singles.
Okay.
So this is the first, you know, kind of full normal year back.
So, Richard, what I really wanted to hear from you is the four that's going to National. What makes that group so good?
They picked my group of skull, actually. Yeah.
What makes them so good?
They've all been rowing here probably since middle school. I think they're all seniors, and so they're very experienced. All four of them went to Nationals last year. And I think the double was 20th. Or two of the guys, Windsor and Ben, read the double and were 20th. And one of the guys was 25th in the single, I think. So they've all had the experience back there. And what makes them so good, and we have six guys who rode there last year in Nationals on their team going back. And their goal last year was, when we left there, they said, we want to come back, all six of them. And all six of them are back. So that, having that focus to be able to, they've been training for a year.
So how long does it take for a group of four to truly mesh together where they can trust each other and know they're going to be on stroke and so forth?
Some of my really experienced coaching colleagues and I think in what are called small boats, like a quad is a small boat compared to the eight.
Right.
They're born, not made. Usually you can tell in half a practice if they're going to go fast.
Wow.
In singles, doubles, and quads. And if they don't go fast, then you're going to spend a year trying to get them to mesh. And you'll see if you haven't watched rowing, everybody has to do everything at exactly the same time for 7 minutes. And that's really hard to find people who can move together in any boats, you know, for that length of time. And it takes a lot of, early on, it takes a lot of practice, and you have to have people who are willing to do that. And in rowing, it's all about we and not me. So you have to find people who aren't into, particularly four guys who are into making it go as a group and not an individual. And that's hard, you know. And the guy who gets the credit is the guy, it's called the stroke, the person farthest to the stern, and he sets the pace and everybody follows him. And that's the key, too. If you just have to find somebody who just has a natural rhythm, and we played around with that with about three or four different guys in the last year, and finally I decided that Cole is the guy, and everybody else said, okay, we'll live with that.
Richard Lawrence and Catherine Reith coached the high schoolers for the Olympia Area Rowing Club. And one of those high schoolers that Catherine mentioned was Ellie Rowley. She'll be headed to Sarasota, Florida to row in the Nationals. Here she is.
So how long have you been rowing?
I've been rowing for 5 years.
And what attracted you to it in the first place?
Actually, my dad used to row for the club. He was a master rower here.
For OAR?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that?
Well, when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, so he just kind of dragged you along?
Yeah,
practice.
Basically.
And then your dad brings you down here and he says, here's what we do. What made you want to stick with it?
Well, I was part of the pilot middle school rowing program here, and I would say I made a lot of really good friends my first year, and I had a lot of fun just being on the water and being outside. And it was different from any of the other sports that I'd done. I used to play soccer, and I picked rowing just because I just felt more connected to it, and I felt it's a lifelong sport, so I felt it would just be it could take me through the rest of my life. And I just enjoyed being a part of the program and the coaching.
How far did you take soccer? Did you get to high school with it or not?
No. My freshman year, I chose rowing.
What are your goals for next week? Do you think you can do well? How well do you think you can do?
Yeah, I think we're pretty ambitious. We want to try making the A final. I think that's our biggest goal.
Do you have any intention to row in college?
Yeah, I'm going to row at Stanford.
Oh, okay.
Week. Yeah.
Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you wanted to talk about?
I'm just really excited to race.
All right, that is Ellie Rowley. She is one of the high schoolers going to Sarasota, Florida to row in the Nationals. Dave, I don't know how much time you spent, but quite a lot of activity just down the beach to the east of the studios here at the OAR Rowing Club, Shell House.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it. You know, back in the day when I was the athletic director at Evergreen, we actually had a hand in getting that place built. Evergreen used to share that boathouse with OAR for its program that they have apparently I discovered by going down there, they have dropped their rowing program, and there's not the word Evergreen on the building anymore. So that's disappointing to me, because it was something that we had taken a lot of pride in at the time. But yeah, they've been going for, you know, about 20 years in that building, not quite 20 years, but a long time. And it's been an ongoing growing program. I asked a few questions of the coaches about who had done well in the past, and they mentioned some people that had gone to nationals. The girl that they were talking about, or young woman that they were talking about, Emily Jodden, who was back from Brown, where she was a sophomore and rode in the first boat as the Bears finished eighth in the NT2As less than a week ago. She had many, many top performances with Orr, and obviously thought of it as a positive thing to come back from college only a week after being in the NCAAs, and first thing you think to do is go out and help your old team practice. So you know, definitely a interesting part of the local scene that we don't touch on very often, but definitely high school kids that are excelling at their sport, just as the kids we talk about during other parts of the show do. One of the interesting things that I talked to the coaches about, just kind of off topic, but, you know, colorful part of the situation. You make it to nationals in Sarasota, Florida, which is, I don't know how many thousand miles away, almost three, I guess. And how are you going to row? What are you going to row in? You know, because you see people walking through airports with maybe a pole vault pole in a bag, or, you know, things like that, or even a rower with their oar. But you don't see the boats. How do you, what are you going to actually row in?
Right.
And it turns out that there's two different ways you can do it. The boys are going to load up their gear, or they already did, loaded up their gear on a truck with all the other people, all the other clubs from the Pacific Northwest. And a couple of trucks are going to drive their stuff down there. The girls, on the other hand, are going to rent shells. And Catherine was telling me, the coach was telling me, that they're happy about that because they're going to be the same brand, only newer. So they're not going to have to adjust to the boat, which is one of the reasons the boys shipped theirs, because in the past they've rented them and had a different brand, which meant that there was different features and they didn't adjust quickly. So
right, Richard
that's
said,
how they do it. There's two ways.
Yeah, Richard said they had a hard time kind of getting used to the boat that they had, and we're not allowed, you know, more than a couple of runs down the track. So they didn't really have a chance to get used to that shell.
Yeah. And so that's something I've always wondered about. And at Evergreen, when we did have the rowing program there, we had eights only, because college is pretty much based on eights. And they never shipped. We always would just have to pick up a boat where they went. They went to Philadelphia, some places that far away. So just a little interesting sidelight to an equipment-heavy sport that, you know, you see college football teams, you'll see a truck going down the freeway. It's got all their gear in there. But if they had to, they could pack the helmets in a bag. But you cannot pack a four- or eight-person rowing shell on an airplane.
That's no, you can't.
Work. So, I thought, you know, just to be fair, there's a lot of people going to this thing. I thought I'd run through real quickly the 16 people that are going, just to give them a little bit of credit, if that's okay.
Sure.
So in the women's youth double, that will be Ellie Raleigh, and she's a senior from Capital. And her partner is Natalie Bailey, who is from Olympia, also a senior. And the women's youth quad will be Brooklyn Adranga of Olympia, Ruby Bosco from Black Hills, Ella Dirks of Olympia, and Grace Maynard from up at Charles Wright Academy. That is their fifth school. The others were just the Olympian Tumwater schools. Men's quad, Ben Bertner, who I was going to talk to yesterday, but they kind of snuck out onto the water before I could talk to him, and I wasn't going to swim after him. So Ben is a veteran, Cole Judge, that Richard was talking about, is the stroke in that boat. He's a senior at Olympia. Gail Matheson, another Ole senior, and Windsor Pratt, a senior at Capital. And in the men's youth double, you'll see Quinn Baker, a junior from Ole, and Ryan McCabe, another junior from Ole. And in the men's under 17 quad, it'll be Max Glodhar, a sophomore from Ole, Rowan Greenaway, freshman from Ole, Colin Rourke, a sophomore from Tumwater, and Evan Sandberg, who is a freshmen from Capital. So they are all going to National Rowing, U.S. Rowing Youth National Regatta, and it's at a place called Nathan Benderson Park down in Sarasota, and that will start next Thursday. So, you know, as I mentioned before, I think it's very analogous to the state track meet. Probably it's not as if there was a national track meet, because that would be, you know, millions of people competing, but it's kind of a niche sport, but it's still definitely, these are the best in the country going, and Orr has had some people come through there. In addition to Ellie Rowley, who's going to Stanford, they have a couple more people that are going to places like Oregon State and Virginia next year. So definitely the equivalent of the high school programs we see that get towards the top of football, basketball, whatever.
Absolutely. Congratulations on making it to such a high level, and good luck to all our high school rowers headed down there. As we have mentioned a few times on the show, the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission Awards nominations are open through the end of the month. There is a link and information on our website. You can nominate boys and girls in both high school and college for the athletes. There are coaches, influencers, and all of that kind of stuff. So I encourage you, everybody listening, to, you know, get on there, think about somebody you might nominate. Also, as I said in the opening, I'm pretty much considering this my final show after 6 years of hosting Friday mornings, first with Lauren Smith and then with Dave. My wife Connie and I plan to put some miles on our travel trailer. See America first, they used to say. So that's what we plan. The show began in 2014 with Meg Wachnick as host and was designed to cover high school football season better than anyone, every team, every week. Well, in the 9 years since, it's grown to provide the fullest coverage of high school sports available, something I'm delighted to have been part of. And I know he's not listening, but I'd like to thank then-manager Jackson Del Weaver for giving me the green light to branch off from what was really my real job here to host the show. And I really want to thank current manager Nick Carey for his support in letting Dave and I grow the show, first from 30 minutes to an hour, which I think listeners know is still not enough for us to get it done. And then from football only to a show that makes every sport, high school sport that we can find information on. And Nick and the whole staff here at KGY have been nothing but helpful and supportive during my entire tenure. It's been a fun ride. I'm going to miss it tremendously. The biggest thanks are saved for Dave Weber. Dave does the real work of the show, gathering scores and stats and interviews. And without any of that, there would be no Red Zone, no Hoop Talk, no Baseline. So thank you, Dave, for all your efforts.
Well, definitely you're welcome. And it's been just really exciting for me to be a part. You mentioned how the show has grown. I remember basically lucking up into the assignment because Lauren, who had been the prep writer for the TNT and the Olympian, was elevated by that organization to their Mariners beat person and did not have time to do this anymore. So you had called me and said she suggested me, and, you know, we did football for a year or two and then managed to expand it all the way out to here we are in June still having a show. And it's been just one of my favorite sports media experiences. You know, you praise me for getting all the details, but you keep it flowing in a very good manner. And, you know, always have something topical to say as well, like you're open today about the unfortunate gun violence that we see in our country. You don't distance the show from, you know, what's going on outside the jock realm. And it's good to see that as well. And it's just been tremendous to work with you. Hopefully, maybe you'll have some sort of change of heart. But if not, I'm stand ready to continue with whoever the next host is. And thank KGY for providing such a show. It's really become more vital that there be such a show, since the newspaper deadlines are really early now. The print media can't really be counted on to cover everything as it once did. So it's good to have that forum for us to be able to report almost everything that happens in local high school sports.
Yep. Well, 41 episodes, and I know you plan to be back in 11 weeks when we kick off again in the fall.
Well, yeah, I hope that we're ready to do that. And I think next year, You know, this year's really been an eye-opener for what we have in front of us to report on. I think there's just been just fantastic realms of different people that are really good at their sport. I mean, you had Tumwater make it to the state title game, which we did a broadcast of in football. You've had Yelm just loaded with different players. Timberline's, you know, pretty tough. Olympia's got some stars. Basketball, you've got, you know, Brooklyn Hicks at Timberline and Luke Brewer at Tumwater. I mean, you've got all these kids that are really pretty good at basketball. And then spring is just an overload. We had the seven champions. No sense rehashing that, but seven championship teams in that. So plenty to report on next year and looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is going to do it for our show and for our season. As always, the show is brought to you in part by a passion for high school sports and the continued success of our student athletes. But really, it's brought to you by our sponsors. Please support them every way you can. If you missed anything, find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Later today, Mr. Stein and Molly Gilmore bring Ole in a Can during the 3 o'clock hour. It's a look at some of the fun things going on in the area this week. Outdoor music, National VCR Day, and KGY welcomes the Temptations to the Washington Center for Performing Arts. Don't miss Ole in a Can, 3 o'clock hour later today. Thanks to Kevin the Brit Huffer for his help all year long, and thank you for listening. Be sure and join Dave and the KGY staff next fall for Red Zone Talk. Right now, news and the Friday Workday Kickoff on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
You've been listening to The Baseline with Noel Wall and Olympian prep reporter Dave Weber.